It's 7:20 ABC Perth on this Saturday morning. Now, imagine a lifetime of filming for a hobby. Just the things that you enjoy. Nature, the rugged wilderness, wherever you travel, coupled with extreme sport and adventure. Well, my guest this morning, Clive Neeson's created a new kind of documentary where the beautiful footage really is a lifetime's work. It spans over 40 years and he hasn't finished yet. Clive, good morning.
Good morning, James.
It's a lovely film that you have produced, which I guess goes against the grain of making films these days. It didn't take 6 to 12 months. It's taken 40 years. Last Paradise is, I guess, one of those epics, isn't it?
Well, for me, it's an epic. The whole purpose of the film really is to use what we consider as the world's most exciting story to address the world's most critical issues.
Why has it taken so long to surface? Was it always your intention to bring it out at some point when the time seemed right, or is it just pure luck?
I guess the opportunity arose when I was working with Peter Jackson's Park Road Post, which is his production facility, and I had the opportunity to make the film there. But I did start filming when I was about 15 years old. My parents were wildlife cinematographers in Africa. And when we moved to New Zealand, which was later to become the world capital of extreme sports, my parents started filming their children, if you like, my brothers and myself, and our friends who were inclined to go out into the wilderness. And so the story involves a half a dozen people from childhood, in real footage, by the way, who were to pioneer the extreme sports. And that incorporated the maverick sport of surfing. That was a beginning platform, and then it sprung from there. And so all this original footage was accumulated over the years, myself having filmed some of it.
Yeah.
And in making of the film, we decided that we'd incorporate absolutely everything that was ever filmed.
Wow.
of that time span of 40 years to tell the story of those people through to today's best, of course.
I love the way that you've sort of stumbled across a film. That's the beauty of this, isn't it? This wasn't your intention 40 years ago, but because you have the material, you can now put it out and tell a story you want to tell.
Yes, that's right. I really did have a vision for a film one day, but I never really thought that the stuff that we were filming could ever end up in a big screen quality film. Mm. And that was the beauty of the technology they had developed for Lord of the Rings and King Kong.
Well, technology has changed so much now, of course, and people will see the quality of this movie and they'll think, you know, that's incredible that we're looking 40 years hence. In terms of that story, you're talking about the power and bringing it out at the right time. There is a very simple message behind this film, isn't there? That somehow a lot of the public of this world are just not heeding.
Yes, I think that we've got two fronts here. One is you've got your whole normal sports type, adventure type films. And then on the other hand, you've got some very important issues in the world today, which are being dealt with in what I consider a rather formal and almost boring way. So if you were to see some of the documentaries that we've seen in these film festivals we've been screening in, they're often preaching to the converted. The cinema is full of people, middle-aged, who are already concerned, who already are aware, scientists, politicians, whatever. But the thing is that we really need to get through to the younger generation on these crucial issues, all the way from the way we recreate, the way kids recreate, its connection to the induction of people into science and the problems we face in the future in terms of not only the environment, but the energy crisis, which is inevitable. All of those we try and embody in Last Paradise through a fun story. The difference is that it's embraced by kids, adults, parents, all age groups enthusiastically. They don't realize that they're absorbing all this stuff, that the messages are coming through till the movie's over. Mm-hmm. But really, it's gone quite viral because we've found that kids are really excited about this real-life adventure story, that they enter the cinema and they get taken on this fun story and really relate to it. And at the end of it, they learn so much. So that's the new genre, as I see it, mm-hmm. of documentary that Last Paradise is pursuing, is to get the same messages through there, but in a really fun story that is very appetizing. A spoonful of sugar, if you like.
Yeah. I know you're a scientist, but how concerned are you about the future? And how concerned are you about the way that some of our youngsters these days have seen no more than a screen in front of their nose?
Well, first of all, we need a lot of scientists today to tackle the problems that we're going to face at the population level that's predicted in the next decade or two. It's not that we need to develop science for the status quo, but for what we need to face in the future. Mm-hmm. And I think there's no doubt that we need more scientists. That's often said. I've even heard it said on ABC many times. What we're trying to do is to get kids to study the science through that. Now, what really is the essence of attracting kids to science seems to be a sense of wonder. When kids see the night sky, when they camp in the wilderness, when they play outdoors, they develop a sense of wonder. And it's that sense of wonder that had Lord Rutherford, for example, studying science. And the second one is that they had nothing. They didn't have ready-made stuff on the shelves. As you see in this in Last Paradise, the kids had nothing. They had to go out in the wilderness and create a way of having fun and create their own toys and invent them. And that's how a lot of scientists have come about. So whether it's pollution of the night skies or whatever, today kids are not seeing the wonder of nature in its real form. And they're also not seeing the benchmark of what is meant to be and what was meant to be normal for this planet.
Yes.
And you'll see that in Last Paradise. You'll visit places way before, this is, say, half a century ago, way before they're modified by mankind. And then you get to see them today implicitly in the story. And it's so different, it's unrecognizable. But kids see that as being the norm.
How do you think this film is going to be received then? Because it is challenging. It's going to provoke an argument. It's getting the discussion going, which, of course, is part of the intention. But how do you see it going from here? Because it's all very well having this sort of like the talk fest scenario, but nothing coming from it. What would you like to see happen?
Well, I don't see it stimulates argument. We certainly haven't had that in New Zealand, where we were screened in the regular cinemas. And it was more people getting excited and getting a grip of something and saying, yes, this is what's happening, this is the answer, and illustrating that in a fun way. And what comes out of that, what comes down the track of that, is we're getting a lot of requests. I go as a keynote speaker to various countries and talking to people who can make a difference, talking all the way from education programs through to politicians. And they do. We've just come from Hawaii now. And we had politicians in the audience there. You never know till after. Yeah. And they're really picking up on it. Of course, they're aware of the concerns themselves, but what they're picking up on is a new way of doing it through film. Because a lot of this is caused by film. A lot
of course it is. So the point is now you've got key figures watching this, decision makers, which is terrific. So what will be the action that comes from it, do you think?
Well, for me, the starting point is just following the film around. Firstly, it needs to do its cinema tour in Australia and subsequent countries. National Geographic will look at the TV. They're doing the TV internationally. But I think for me, to pursue what I really intended in the long run will be to accept invitations as a keynote speaker to talk with the film. And that's what happened in Hawaii. And that makes it more powerful. It gives it more mileage.
Yes.
And it gets it home to where it needs to be.
Exciting times. Clive Neeson is my interview this morning, and it is one of those subjects that is only going to become more important for everybody, I guess. And the use of extreme sports or some of these sort of sports which many people never dabble with is an interesting way of doing it, isn't it? Because it's suddenly one of those things that people think, oh, I've really wanted to do that. Before they know it, they're watching the extreme sports, but they're also getting some of this subliminal messaging coming through.
Yes, that's right. New Zealand is the world capital of extreme sports, and we've pretty much nailed the half a dozen or so people that pioneered the various sports. But I must say, though, that part of that journey is about the places that these people pioneered when they're young. And one of the most significant parts of this story or regions of the story is West Australia. And the reason why I am actually premiering it in West Australia at this particular festival in Yallingup is because I feel I owe it to the community there and the community of West Australia to having helped me so much in the movie and for being an essential part of it. And the name of the movie, Last Paradise, it alludes to, well, you'll see in the story.
You know,
West Australia is very significant in that title, let me put it that way. And the concept being that everything has so much changed in 50 years to the point of non-recognition, but there is a place. And we don't give away secrets here because that's the first step to spoiling a place.
Yes.
But let's say that West Australia will be very proud of the movie Last Paradise because there's something very special about this place that you'll see in that film.
You talk about the change. A lot of people talk about the change, but they don't talk about change for the better. You've seen some of these very remote parts of the world and some probably the most beautiful parts of the world. How worried about the future are you in terms of the way that our world is changing?
Well, I think one of the issues really is, you know, as a physicist, we talk about the delta function. That is the rate of change. Change is fine, but it's the rate of change now which is actually becoming quite critical and scary, whether it's being consumption of resources or the change in lifestyles or architecture and so on like that. And so the objective is to show not only the change, but just how much has happened in one lifetime. And that's an exponential function that's not slowing down. And you can extrapolate from that. The change eventually will be in lifestyle and, I suppose, happiness.
Mm. Mm. And we're already seeing that, aren't we? Whilst we have a lot of richness and a lot of wealth, there is a lack of happiness.
Yes, I don't think we've yet seen the play out of the real critical issue here, which is where children play. Because I think that the protectors of tomorrow's wilderness are the kids who play in it today.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, what does that say for the welfare of the wilderness when you see where kids are playing today? There's a very strong link there you'll see in the film.
It is called Last Paradise. It's going to be shown tomorrow night, 8 p.m., I think. Am I right in thinking this? Yelling
yes.
Yep. At Clancy's. And it's not just for surf fans. It's for anyone interested in, I guess, environment and sports and some subliminal messaging as well. Great to see you, and may I wish you all the best with the film. It'll be interesting to see where it takes you.
Thanks. That's the Yelling Up Surf Film Festival.
Yeah, brilliant.
Thank you.
Thanks, Clive.